Blog Talk Radio.
Tell my baby make it hot. Ride the cock till you hit the spot. Tell my baby make it hot.
Doing it doggy style. Wow, 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 yippee-yo, yippee-yay, bow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yo. Wow, 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 yippee-yo, yippee-yay, bow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee.
And here we are, on time and pristine for you in summer space.
Yes, yes indeed.
It is a couple days before Christmas, and boy, are my arms tired.
I'm wiped.
Yeah, I just, you know, you get to that point, you just feel it.
I want you to fucking lay me out, right?
That's it. I'm waiting for the kill shot.
Well, so. I don't know. How about this? Wait, let's see here.
All right.
Raymond, where's the fucking beer, man?
It's right here, Frank. You want me to pour it?
No, I want you to fuck it. CPS, pour the fucking beer.
What movie is that from?
Blue Velvet, one of my favorites.
Oh, all right. Well, they're scoring at home. Well, welcome to to Naked Summer, the Raw Consciousness Hour here on the Blog Talk, and boy, it could get real raw tonight.
Oh yeah, we're both ready. We are just so ready to just throw it down.
We have had it.
We're done.
It is on to a week, and the ecos are sore boils.
Yep.
Oh, boy. All right. Let's see.
Well, the dog is starting up.
Why not?
Yes.
Does this thing work? Of course not. Everything I do.
What's the matter now?
I hit something. It just laughed at me. It said, stop.
Oh, no.
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Well,
maybe it'll fire like in like 2 minutes when I'm talking or something.
Perhaps. Should we run one of our promos while we're...
Yeah, do something fussing? Successful. Yeah.
All right. How about... Let's see. Yeah, this one.
All right, we'll be right back.
Hey, Shapes.
Oh, well, hold on.
Louder.
Oh,
how
wait a minute.
This be different and better a month from now.
Oh, it's always something.
You could call a psychic.
It won't stop.
No.
Okay, wait a minute. I think I got it. Here we go.
All right.
Will it happen?
Hey, Shapes. Do me a favor and answer this question.
How will your life be different and better a month from now?
There's ways to guess at it.
You could call a psychic or consult the oracle.
Or you could...
follow the moon.
That's right, Sapiens. Us radicals at Naked Soma have taken our act on the road with you.
Just go to the site somaspace.org and click on the link at the top of the homepage.
That'll take you to the page of our brand new 30-day emotional makeover audio program called...
the Somatic Companion.
Listen, we know you're fed up with humanity, so we designed a program to help you rise above it all.
Tell them what they get to know.
Everyone craves the same basic things from life. At 6 years old, as you do at 66 years old, the unseen force that binds us to our behavior is our emotions.
We've assembled 15 years of cutting-edge research into a user-friendly series of 7 to 10-minute daily audios that help you develop something called positive physiology.
Mm-hmm. And by riding the waves of positive physiology, you'll naturally reconnect with your self-extreme, the appetite for change.
It's moon over matter.
Blast off is a click away. Well, you're in a better mood that day.
Yeah. You know what? There is something here that might put you in a better mood. Should we break for a little Christmas music?
Yeah, well, hit something.
All right.
Because my computers are just offering me no solace here. There you go. All right.
I'm Mr. White Christmas.
Is that enough?
Snow. I'm Mr.
White Christmas. What's the storm? I'm done.
I'm Mr. Ten Below. Friends call me Snow Miser. Whatever I touch turns to snow in my clutch. I'm too much.
I figure when I arrive at the gates of hell, this will be playing.
Well, it'll be the Heat Miser.
For him, too. I think he'll play this just to mock me. I saw the snow miser the other day. Trying to park my car.
Oh, God.
Frozen leaves.
Well, you saw the ice up here. It's bad.
That is an ice we have over there. That's a glacier.
Yep. 40 degrees.
This thing is insanity.
Better today, though.
Don't mind my computer. I'm already off the snow.
Maybe you should get back on it.
No, I never was.
Put that thing on ice.
Friends call me Snow Miser. Whatever I touch turns to snow in my clutch.
Same.
Too much. Too much.
All right, so welcome to our demented presentation. Hopefully we'll make some sense before 9 o'clock, but fortunately for you guys, we have a guest coming up soon who doesn't have anything to do with any of our shenanigans, and you can call him at 646-478-4847. He is a legitimate Soma Sape. He knows from the Soma.
Yep.
So it isn't just the two of us rambling on. So you'll actually learn something about somatics tonight that maybe you didn't know.
That's right.
And we'll get you ready for shoveling snow and digging your car out all winter long as we maybe we will have a white Christmas yet if the snow doesn't get melted by the weekend, but you know.
Well, I'm not opposed to the snow melting and going the hell away.
At this point I'm not opposed to everything east of the Hudson River sliding into the ocean, but that's me. I'm easy to please. Well,
I don't know.
Let's see if These things don't work here.
Yeah, that's good.
This is my homage to Yo from last week.
Yep.
We didn't get to play a lot of the Rocky stuff last week because the computer was having its way with us. So.
That's right. Well, I had a lot of Yo today, yesterday. I'm going to see her again tomorrow. So my trainer is kicking my ass and... I have a goal, so she's helping me get there.
There is never enough Yo.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. So I'm going to see her early tomorrow, too, so
somehow
I'm going to actually have to get to sleep tonight.
Yo in the morning. Not a bad thing.
No, not at all.
So, as we sort of, turn for home here, we got one more show left in 2007. Just want to, before our guest chimes in here, I'd like to reflect on our progress here at the Block Talk. We do have another commercial we wanted to play beforehand to orient you guys, but for the most part, I think we announced it last week. The show will be moving. We'll get the trucks and, the Teamsters, and we will be moving the show to the 9 o'clock slot beginning Wednesday, January 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll be starting off the year at 2008 at 9 o'clock. The adult hour.
Yeah.
And
good time for us.
Yeah, well, hopefully Dr. Jeb will be able to put his infield to sleep, before the show and be able to join us a little earlier and stay with us a little later. So we'll be doing that. And for the most part, the show's going to stay on this format. And what I wanted to get you guys to do, since we didn't get a chance to cut the commercial today, is if you know an expert in any endeavor that involves body language, consciousness, growth, development, or anything to do with communication, we will take them all on because we're going to get some weird guests on in January.
Mm-hmm.
And we will reward them with their appearance with a copy of our Somatic Companion because, we kind of feel like we got something to share too and we want to share it with our guests and let them share it with their circle and see if we can get a little Somatic Community 5 going next year. So, we'll be talking about that a little bit. And why don't you play the orientation
deal? Yeah, hold on one second.
I can't find it.
It's at the top. It's, let's see.
I scroll up and I see vagina power definition. That's what I see.
Well, that's a good thing. The show promo, I think, is what we want, right?
There you go. That's it.
All right.
A little orientation before we get to our guest here.
All right. Let's just crank it up a little bit here and give it a shot.
We are Naked Soma. Glad you tuned in today.
Here's some pointers to make the show more fun to listen to.
See you when we get started.
That's a great indicator of what we call
the initial conditions. Kind of sets the tone for the rest of the show.
Yeah, see, we have a whole day to get through before we get here.
That's why we show up as we are, naked, open to whatever the day and the show. What happened?
I don't know. Yeah, you know.
Oh, God. Just give me one of those.
You know.
You, the dancing Jewish people. I just can't stand it anymore.
If you'd like to make a call, please hang up and try again. If you need help, hang up and then dial your operator.
You gotta be kidding me. Perfect.
Oh, that hurt.
You can't make it up. You just walk the earth. How the hell? I don't even want to know how that happened.
I uploaded it.
You uploaded that?
Yes, I did.
Oh, that was you doing that. Oh, mm-hmm. All right.
That's right.
Oh, well, that's perfect.
Yes, I thought so.
Just, you know, for the amount of computer problems we've had in the last month, that's perfect.
It's constant. It's
mm-hmm.
just...
Food fight!
That's
yeah.
my response to that.
Well, you know how it is.
Hey, look who's here.
He's here?
Yes.
Shall we click?
Let him in and we'll give him the trumpets.
Wait, hang on.
The horns or whatever.
Let me get the horn here. Hold on.
All right. So we'll get the Soma submarine off the dock.
That's right. Scrolling to the submarine. Here we go. Whoops, I missed the button.
Everybody on, get your life preservers.
Here we go.
All right. So, are you there, Craig?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Craig.
Hi, I'm listening to my computer, but what you're saying through the phone is different than what I'm hearing through the computer.
You sure you have our show on? It is Blog Talk. We had that community channel.
Yeah, I'm sure it's working. It gets a little wacky out there, but I'm sure you guys
are. There's a lag or something, or else you each have two different personalities. I don't know. Something's.
Well, if the different words are coming out, then you got a scoop. You know.
Okay.
But this is Craig Williamson, and he's going to be talking to us about a lot of different things he's been doing with Somatics. Why don't you just first, for the benefit of the audience and our sanity, define what a soma is in your terms.
Well, in my terms, it's the body is experienced from within.
Okay.
There you go.
So how is that different from the psychological definition that just says it's just subjectivity?
How is it not subjectivity?
Yeah, a psychologist would say, well, that's just subjectivity, so you can't put a fork in that. If you'd say the body is experienced from within, that's not technically what a psychologist would look at as subjectivity, because they look at it as a point of view, and you're saying this is an orientation. This is like you're taking it from, and you know, this is goes back to when somatics started as a discipline in the 60s with you know, guys like Thomas Hahn and people like that, and
yeah.
that sort of laid the groundwork down. And for the most part, I like the way he defines it. He's like the grandfather of this stuff, and he just says that any system that is self-experiencing, self-moving, and has sensory motor components is a soma. And to have a somatic orientation is just to have an experience. Once you have an experience, you're in a somatic orientation. So a lot of times when psychologists go on, and we happen to have one here with Professor Val.
Hey, stop yelling at me.
they hold up a lot of maps and get in your head. And what somatics talks more about is the terrain, the relationship of self and surroundings, and being able to kind of cross over and unify with your environment rather than feel like you're separate from it. And a lot of times in psychology, they sort of take things in a vacuum outside of your environment, and they label you. And in somatics, it's more about getting leverage so that you can better relate to your environment and better move in with it, in sync with it, in harmony with it. So that's kind of what we're about here on the show. And your book is, I guess I would put it in the category of a rejuvenation type of book. So why don't you tell us about what led to your book and sort of the kernel of what makes your book unique in the somatic, sort of like on the bookshelf of somatics? Like, how does your work stand apart from some of the other authors they might be picking up, like a Thomas Hanna or some of the other guys like Oshman?
Well, yeah, that's a big question. The main, basically what I have done is something like what you were, what you said there in the last few minutes about, the more, internal explanation of what somatics is in terms of what I guess someone might call subjective. It doesn't really matter, I guess, to me whether it would be called subjective or not. I mean, that doesn't really make a difference whether it is or not, because it's valid. It works. You know, there's a necessity for, in terms of dealing with what I've been working with people is pain. So I've basically taken my own understanding from my own observations of myself, and in terms of basically awareness and specifically kinesthetic awareness, and applied that to helping people who have musculoskeletal pain. And so even though it looks subjective and someone's somatic experience could be seen as subjective, it can be used, I have a way of using it clinically to help somebody with objective problems, musculoskeletal problems. But the approach is by engaging their somatic awareness and enlarging their kinesthetic sense. So in that sense, it's not, I mean, I've been very influenced by Thomas Hanna. It's kind of hard not to be.
Mm-hmm.
And for a number of years, like in the 90s, I started thinking about writing a book back then, but I thought, well, why should I bother? Thomas Hanna wrote this fantastic book, or he wrote a few, but Somatics in particular. But as time went on, I realized that I never studied with him. I have my own way of working, and
you're trained as an occupational therapist, right?
Well, I am. I started working as a massage therapist in 1980.
Okay.
And I became an OT in 1998. So most of the work that I do was really formed before I became an occupational therapist.
Mm-hmm. So as a body worker in general, your orientation has always been more about helping people use that experience to get to a somatic point of view, so that they're not just, a lot of people come to you with conditions, and, my background in chiropractic, which I desperately try to shed like Macbeth, out damn degree,
yeah.
That people come to you with a sort of a third-person point of view about their first-person experience.
Yeah.
So here they are experiencing pain, and then they have a bouffitis label for it, whether it's their knee or their elbow or their, whatever it is that their condition is.
Yeah.
And then you work with them on the table, and just the word body, which, Hannah has a whole issue with, there are no bodies, there's just somas.
Right.
The bodies are the things that they bury. So his mindset is that you have to get someone to sort of reclaim their first-person authority so that they are then in conscious connection with this sort of sentience, this ability to be self-aware. And you do it through your training in massage and OT. So why don't you give us an example of a simple exercise. Say someone that's dealing with carpal tunnel syndrome, they're typing all day and they have all kinds of problems with their wrists. And what would you do if someone came to you with that to get them to reclaim that area of their body?
Oh, well,
something simple.
I probably would not show them something for their wrist.
Yeah, me too.
Right away.
That's right.
Because it wouldn't really, it's unlikely it would help unless they were doing something, overtly, inappropriate with their wrist. I might say, well, show me the position you hold your hands in when you're typing, and if they're
right.
But other than that, I would discuss with them, find out what else was happening in their body.
Uh-huh.
And also I'd look at them and I'd see how they stood, how they presented themselves. I'd talk to them about how they deal with stress, Do they, you know, what's happening in the, if they have a job that caused carpal tunnel, did they, what's their relationship to that, or what, how are they feeling when they're at work? Are they happy? Are they rushing around? Or, you know, are they under pressure? You know, all of those things have something to do with where I'd start, and then I would look at them, and based upon, you know, basically what shape their body looks like. Like specifically, I guess where I see, maybe I'll have them walk, and where I see obvious areas of tension, first thing I would do is have them, after talking about all that other stuff, is I have them lie down on the floor and do a few basic movements of their lower back and their waist, just like flexion or extension of their back or something. Mm-hmm. And ask them what they can feel. That's usually where I start, is have somebody move and say, okay, what can you sense what you're doing? Can you sense the muscle effort you're making? You know, it's so basic. I mean, it's so simple. That it would be easily, you know, overlooked, and a lot of people that I'm working with don't know why in the world I'm asking them to do something so simple.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, you know, just listen to you here. If I'm coming to you and you're saying this is the guy to go to for you know, managing chronic pain, I go to you with wrist pain, and you're telling me how was the traffic on the way to work, I'm going to go, wow, this guy is not even addressing my issue here.
Right.
But what you're getting at, and this is some of the things that in somatics are sort of misunderstood or even just completely just ignored, is that the context is just as relevant as the content. So if someone tells me they have pain, I usually say, that's nice. What's your favorite ice cream? Because it's irrelevant to me at that point. That's already on the conscious side, or as Hannah would say in his model, it's in the cortex. With the core that's maintaining this pattern and saying, hey, pay attention to this, might have a completely different message for you. There's nothing to do with wrist pain, but it's something to do with something you're obsessed over, or the way you're breathing, or the way you put your pillow when you go to sleep and you're tractioning your neck up. So many subtle things that you're not even aware of. So really what the therapist or the practitioner's role in the room is to sort of get the satellite photo for the person so they can kind of see the climate and the weather that's creating that condition over and over again, or recreating it in a sense. And since most of somatics has to do a lot with recall and memory and getting the body to get back to a sense of competency, you can't get there by pushing into the resistance that the body created. It's always going to push back at you because it's saying, hey, I'm giving you this because it has meaning. Now you got to go and unpack it. And that's really what most people are not aware of what they're getting involved in with somatics. They just think it's just another modality, just another treatment. It's no different than if I, you know, went and put ice on it or did something else for it. It's not treatment. This is not attempting to treat things or fix things. It's trying to free up awareness. And by you free up awareness, then the system's always going to try to optimize its function. So you don't go and it's so contradictory and somewhat paradoxical is that, yeah, there's plenty of exercises I can show you to loosen up your calves or loosen up your shoulders, but that's not what I'm trying to do. So it's like a side benefit of those things. Because, like, you know, if you're familiar with Paul Check's work.
No, I'm not.
He's a good guy out there on the West Coast. Like Peter Levine, is another guy who works with pain, is that if all you focus on is flexibility and not function, then you get a very flexible person that moves in a dysfunctional way.
Yeah.
So you're not really correcting anything.
Well, the function goes beyond, you know, the function is the whole, of course, the whole person. And specifically, for practical purposes, for me, you know, for doing the way I work with people, is their kinesthetic sense is a fundamental function, and to me, that's just there's no getting around that. It's a basic. It's just basic to who we are. You know, so if somebody is not functional kinesthetically, then they're going to have deficiency. They're not going to be able to sense, and you know what's happening. They're not going to be autonomous. They're not going to be able to relax. They're not going to actually know what their body is. They're not going to actually experience what is happening in their body accurately.
Yeah, the bumper sticker I usually say for that is you can't think straight until you can feel great. So feeling great isn't about attitude. It's about having greater feelings of being able to access a more global sense of your body. And most people just focus on where they hurt, where they're stuck, where they have where they've had problems in the past. So when they scan their physical body from the inside, they're not looking for the parts that are working well. They're usually looking for the parts that aren't working at all or not working up to snuff for them. So they come in, and really the whole relationship with practitioners is based on what's wrong. It's like, you know, it's the mechanical worldview that they come from, that they're trained to think of their body in terms of broken parts and not integration. What part of the country are you from? Are you up in Maine?
I live in Maine, yep.
Okay, so right down the road from you got Tom Myers over there.
Yeah, I know Tom.
You know Tom? Okay, well, tell him Filippi says hi. We had a torturous conversation in a New York City a couple of years ago about his lines. We're doing a lot of stuff with his lines that maybe someday we'll show him, because I think we just made him mad. for the most part, he actually got into the subject of tensegrity in his model, and this is his whole view of anatomy is completely right down the middle of the somatic alley, and that there's a functional anatomy that isn't in the gross anatomy textbooks that chops you up into little cold cuts and
right.
You know, looks at these things in isolation. He's looking at these things in terms of how they integrate and how they share the tension and communicate it as a network, and he calls them myofascial meridian. So
right.
I'm more apt to teach somebody one of those lines and show them in his book and give them an image of their body, that shows them how the system is connecting and redistributing tension rather than just locking it into the joints and locking it into the tissues, because that's what they're trained to do. They're trained to think that they're almost on this kind of 80-year shish kebab that just
right.
tears them around the sun and just chops them into pieces and wears them out, cooks their organs, and then serves them up for fish food, you know. That's not a vitalistic model to me. So he's, to me, the heir apparent to Hannah, is Myers. You can, you know, if you see him, tell him I said, you know, I like you, and this is what I think you should probably be. But he's into chopping up and doing those big dissections, which, you know, I don't know what kind of crowd goes to those, but it's amazing stuff that he's been able to actually reveal. It isn't just an abstraction that only, you know, people with this worldview can see. There's actually an anatomical way that all these tissues connect, and that if you see that and you see the body in this way, you no longer think of, you know, the foot bone connected to the thigh bone kind of stuff.
Right.
You don't think in that sectional way. You think in terms of in OT, they talk about kinetic chains, you know, open and closed kinetic chains, and he talks about these anatomy trains. So there's definitely a little bit of a movement, but the somatic community is about as integrated as the old textbooks. So everybody's on little dots, little islands, and you got, you know, Peter Levine out there in Colorado, and you got Strazi out there in California, and Hannah's all over the place now.
Maybe that's all right, because everybody has, different people are exploring their own. They got to follow whatever it is that they're interested in. Like Tom's doing what he's interested in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a big elephant. There's no doubt.
Yeah, right.
I just see it as something that I'd like to see that be the primary way that, like, when kids go to PE,
right.
you know, go to gym class when they're 5 or 6, or even preschoolers, and this is when they're developing their kinesthetic literacy. What do? They do calisthenics and they do all the old exercises that basically break down their first-person awareness. It makes them very mechanical, and a lot of these kids that are fidgety and end up, you know, stuck on the whole, you know, Ritalin spectrum, is because they don't have what you said that they need. They don't have that kinesthetic awareness. It's very fragmented. So all the higher centers, the visual, auditory, all the other cognitive stuff, you know, they can't think straight because they don't feel great. They're fidgety. So what happens is that their nervous system is sort of like, you know, rocketing around in this kind of very, very broken sort of template, this neural image that's kind of blurry, and so they keep reorienting themselves, and of course that leads to being medicated. Now they have chemical stress on top of the mechanical stress, and off they go. And then you're dealing with the chronic SAPES that are walking in that have been either self-medicating or on prescription, you know, pain medication for 25, 30 years. And what do they give you? 1-2 sessions to get fixed? I love that phrase, fix me.
Well, I guess, I mean, a lot of what my job is, because the people I work with, just all kinds of different people, you
mm-hmm.
know, they're not necessarily people who have any sophistication about any of the things we're talking about. You know, they're just in pain, and for some reason, you know, somebody referred them to me. And a lot of what I need to do is to kind of get on their side, or have them realize that I'm, you know, it'd be like if somebody was two people walking toward each other, you know, and they were going to crash into each other, and instead one of them turns and walks alongside of the other person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what I do. You know, I walk alongside of them and I point things out. And the whole time they might be saying, but wait, you know, what about my back? What about my neck? And I'm aware of that, and I understand that, you know, the part of my job is to help them with pain. You know, I don't just dismiss that and say, well, that's part of the process. You just have to, you know, I'm aware that they have pain, but the bigger picture is presenting techniques or ideas or experiences for them, you know, these simple kinesthetic experiences through movement or some hands-on, some simple, like, physical experience for the person, mm-hmm. so that they start to realize that they are in the driver's seat way more than they thought they were, and that they're responsible for their own awareness, that no one else is. That's theirs. And I'm finding that more, for some reason, as the years go by, people are listening to this a lot more than they used to. I've been saying the same thing for, you know, in Portland, Maine, for 20 years, and I've noticed that people now are listening more. You know, they're not looking at me cross-eyed or thinking so something seems to be changing. I don't know what it is. It's me or them or something. But they're willing to accept that that they have some responsibility in what's happening. And I think that, you know, anybody, you know, sometimes for the people I work with they might need to go to see somebody else for like a more maybe a chiropractic or an osteopathic treatment or some other kind of body work, possibly, you know, because there's a specific need that they have,
mm-hmm.
for that. But what they've learned from me or gotten from me is this basic understanding of everything that we're talking about, you know, and they're able to experience. It's sort of hard to put your finger on, but
this is that blurry line. The public has no investment in trying to decipher what's, you know, become about 200 different allied health fields. You know, we talk about a lot down here in terms of the woo. There's the moo, the conventional wisdom, which would include things like OT and PT, things that people.
Uh-huh.
I've been to therapy, you know, and that's now expanded into things that are more like in psychology. You know, they've gotten into the cognitive aspect of things with the body, and they work more with that type of expression, or, you know, get into Siegel's work, which is interpersonal neurobiology, how the brain engages other brains. So there's a lot of learning environments for this. A lot of the things have been, that kind of, the tentacles have been expanding. But the one thing that I think that keeps coming up is that, just like you said, the context of, okay, we're giving you, in a somatic sense, we're giving you basically a set of tools, a set of resources, so that you will be more capable to get the benefits of your massage, of your chiropractic adjustment, of your acupuncturist treatment, of anything you're doing to sort of expand this integration that's already there but has been either mutated or somehow kind of veiled by a lot of interference that you've had in your life, from your lifestyle, your development, your behavior, whatever.
Right.
So your job is to sort of engage them on that level and draw that out so that they become more interconnected with that. Instead of saying it's something that I have to go to Craig to get, it's something that Craig pointed out to me and then I can go get for myself. And that handoff, sometimes, like you said, you've been at it for over 20 years, 25 years maybe, it's not a simple idea for someone to grasp who's used to going to practitioners to get treatment for conditions and get relief, and then go right out the door and go right back to the same old behaviors, the same old habits, and then come right back in again. So it's sort of like a car wash in a dirty pool. It's like they keep going around in a circle. So to make that transition to go, well, I'm going to go, like, basically like everything else. You learn the alphabet. You don't go back to the kindergarten teacher and learn it again tomorrow. You learn it, and you own it. To get them to own that awareness is really the sort of the holy grail in somatics, I guess.
Well, that's what I thought. I'd hoped maybe seems to be happening as a result of the book I wrote. You know, the people that are reading it, that they can, someone can read that book, and they can even read it two or three times if they want to, and they get enough information that a lot of that paves the way. Like that book could pave the way for that. For any person to go see any practitioner who is, you know, barking up, you know, roughly the same tree as I am, because it lays a lot of groundwork that would help a person understand. Because there's a lot of misunderstanding, along with everything else. There's actually misunderstanding that people have about all this stuff, largely because.
What do you think the biggest one is? Or just to kind of put it on the scoreboard.
The biggest one is that the mind and the body are separate.
Start with the big fish. Yeah.
I mean, really, that's a premise that we aren't, you know, most people aren't even aware that they're carrying around with them.
Well, we mentioned it before. Look at elementary school. They put you in school, and there's literally mental education in the classroom and physical education in the gym.
Right.
And they don't make you think in the gym, and they don't let you feel in the classroom.
Exactly. Right.
So right there.
Exactly.
You know, do that for 12 or 13 years, and then think that there's a mind-body separation, and you probably can make an argument for it because you just experienced it for your whole elementary and lower education. And then, of course, when you get to college, now they specialize those things into more and more separate things, and so pretty soon you start thinking that parts of your mental education are separate, like right and left brain thinking, and for the body awareness stuff, there's always gross motor and fine motor, and, you know, it goes on and on and on. So it's like
the
culture is really steeped in division, because you can study something in isolation, but you can't really use it. You can study it academically and get knowledge about it and get very content-oriented, but that common sense doesn't transfer. Like I don't know about in your neighborhood, we got so much snow and ice down here.
Oh, yeah.
I've been teaching people how to basically not only shovel, but just pick up the shovel before they start putting snow on it. You know, because they show me how you pick up the shovel in the garage, Jim. Oh, my God. And then what happened?
Right.
Yeah, okay, that makes a lot of sense. The shovel weighs about 3 pounds, but in the action of getting the shovel out of the garage, they'd already set themselves up for failure.
Right.
Because they're so illiterate when it comes to the way that their body's supposed to move.
That's right. Yeah.
And this is what's missing. That's the thing. And I think the fundamental thing is it starts out where recess, which is to me is where all education takes place, is when the opportunity is missed by most of the educators out there, and even the practitioners. I really think we should round up all the practitioners. What do we got? How many people do you think are practicing with any kind of a somatic flag or a shingle out there in the United States? You think there's 3,000? You think there's 10,000?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know the numbers. I've been hiding up in Maine for a long time, so I don't know what's happening. It seems like there are a growing number of them, you know, in my little world here in Portland, but I don't know. It's a slow movement, but like I said, people are, I don't know the answer.
Well, I'll give you a ballpark number just to kind of work with it, because you got about 70,000 chiropractors on the planet Earth. Okay?
Okay,
I'll give you 10% of them, so 7,000 of those guys. I have even read Hannah's book or even know how to spell Soma.
Uh-huh. All
right? Then you've got a whole layer of people that work in movement therapies. Okay. So maybe you got about 50,000 OTs and PTs, and I'll give you 10% of them. So you're around 12,000.
Okay.
I'm going to say just a fleshy estimate between that and those little schools in California that actually teach somatic psychology, and everyone's up the mountain there with Wilbur and his other guys, you know,
yeah,
Murphy and those guys. I'll give you a fleshy 20,000 people that are attempting to practice somatics right now in this country, 350 million strong, 20 million people servicing them. So round us all up and put us at every spa, resort, and cruise ship that's around. When people are on vacation is when they can learn this stuff. It's not when they're in their regular life, because their regular life is so habituated to divide and conquer. It's only when they go on vacation and reintegrate that they're even open to seeing these things. And that's what people do. They go and they pack up and they do their 3-day weekends and they go to their state chasing seminars, and they, you know, in Maine, you probably people trek down to Boston,
yeah.
and they'll go and see, you know, the new author in town that's got the new, you know, funky little modality, and they get their bliss on. What happens, of course, is that they come back from vacation, and the habit overcomes the experience, and then what, 2 or 3 months later, they got to go pack up and go to another seminar, another spa. You're pretty close to Canyon Ranch over there in the western part of Massachusetts. It's that same as recess in the elementary level. It's vacation for adults. That this awareness, it's when you're open is when you learn, not when you're closed. And that's why I see, for us practitioners hacking it out here in the field, you know, 20,000 strong, say, in a very kind of random doctor distribution of us, the only way that message gets across is if there's some semblance of an environment where they know they can get it. It's almost like having McDonald's and not having a sign. You know, we're a franchise of somatic practitioners that we don't really have a front door for the public to get into us. Your book comes out, that's great. We have our show, that's great. All those guys are doing all that corporate work, that's great. Strozzi's got a ranch, that's great. But there doesn't seem to be a bedrock in the community yet that the culture can actually say, hey, you know, we need to take this information and make it part of our everyday lives, because the culture's set up to, like I said, to divide you into divide that first person awareness and make it very, very difficult for you to hold on to it. And if you do, then you're sort of put into a different track. You're sort of put into a less than mainstream lifestyle, it seems. And I just say, you know, up there in Maine, you guys have a little bit more openness because the mainstream isn't reaching out to you, but, you know, we're down here in the metropolitan area of New York City,
yeah,
where
yeah.
it's more of an experiential thing. It's more of a temporary thing. Myers always says that when he came down here. He's teaching in the school down, the massage school, and he's looking around at all these massage therapists in training on the break. He always studies you on the break. You ever watch Myers at a seminar? He studies you like a hawk on the break. And he's watching how you hold yourself, you know, when you're just digesting the material. He doesn't care what you do in the classroom. He cares what you do on the break. He says, that's when I know if you're learning it or not. And I said, oh, I dig this guy.
Yeah.
So it's like that's the stuff I think that we're not getting people to understand. We talk about a lot. Unfortunately, Dr. Jeb can't join us tonight. The infield must have took over there. Is that recovery and conditioning yourself for recovery, not just exertion, is really what's been missing in terms of communicating a message to people. Is people don't recover. They're always in recovery. Even though I said they're always trying to recover, they don't know how. And somatics is really, to me, it's the missing link for that. And that creates, instead of division, it creates integration. That's what I think is where your book, you're talking about neuromusculoskeletal, which is, to me, it's the most underused communication device we have is our musculoskeletal system. I mean,
yeah.
it's from the nonverbal point, and you're saying working with pain. So, okay, so if we took the mind-body duality out, what would be the next biggest sort of blockade or misconception about somatics that you want to wipe from the public mindset about what we do?
Well, maybe the first thing you asked me is that, you know, the idea that it's, well, I don't know if the public even has a mindset about it, but,
well, they don't know what it is.
They don't know what it is, so they're, in a way, they're, I don't know how open or closed they are. For a lot of people, they're just not presented to them either way. Like they don't their doctors or their whoever they go to see, it's not actually being presented. Maybe if they go to yoga class, you know, they're starting to learn some things, you know, along those lines. They're hearing some of these ideas,
mm-hmm.
So I don't know that people are so violently opposed to it. It's just that they're conditioned to, you know, believe, like, you know, like I said, you know, that the mind and body is separate, and then so they might look askance at this or say, well, like you said originally, that is, what if someone says this is subjective,
right?
Or it's not scientific,
mm-hmm.
But.
See, one of the ways we're getting at that is through something called heart rate variability, where if you look at someone's heart rate variability, it's embedding all of their physiology into one signal. So if they know how to get a coherent heart rate variability, which basically is to widen their range that their heart can beat in rhythm from their baseline all the way up to their peak heart rate, And that way they can adapt to more conditions. So it's like the narrower your heartbeat is, its variability, the more it doesn't change.
Uh-huh.
Then the conditions change, you don't, and then your body starts to crash. And that gets right back into breathing and moving and feeling, which is the core of somatics. So it's like something like that creates an objectivity over something that previously was just this kind of like, you know, background subtext that they're, oh, of course I'm, you know, and it's like you can't sell them on just breath awareness or movement therapy or kinesthetic literacy in isolation. They're all together, and they do it all the time. So it's like, you know, the funky stuff that seems to work is like little websites like Desktop Yoga, you know, you know, Pocket Pilates, the mudras with that go with a lot with yoga, the hand yoga, all those little things that create, even Jinsen Jitsu. There's so many modalities that have these little tools that it's like, hey, if I can do this, you know, and get such a physiological benefit, an immediate physiological benefit. Now it's not something that's, just me. I know other people can experience this, mm-hmm. And then it creates a little traction for it. I just see, like I said, we're such a loose knit network of people, all kind of, you know, kind of carving away at our little niche on this, that I kind of see it. You can check back at this in 15 or 20 years, and it might be the same way. It might be the same, you know, about 20, 30,000 people hacking away in their little forest. And meanwhile, the culture around it is getting more and more entrenched and automated. And, you know, now they're going to start, you know, doing therapy on your genes. It's like they're not going to stop, you know. So it's like, you know, I guess to wrap up the interview here, if we took your book and say your book, like Hannah's book, which was written the Hannah Somatics book, which was written, I guess, in the 80s and then rewritten again in the 90s. If we took your book now and checked back with it, say, in 2027, you know, 20 years from now, what do you think the lasting lesson or the legacy of your book is going to be for the population of people that are going to come in contact with it?
I think that it's the lasting legacy that will be the idea of kinesthetic awareness, and that is linked to being present. You know, what the book is about, basically, is that being present and having presence is equals, you know, in some way, kinesthetic sense, that's certainly a really important component of being present. And that being present has something to do with all the other stuff we're talking about, and including the emotional psychological component that's one section of the book, because the book covers the whole, you know, the emotional and then alignment and movement patterns. But that's my main focus was, I thought, if I can get this across and just keep saying it over and over again in the book, that maybe it will kind of go into people's minds as, gee, this is an important thing. Because it's an important thing that gets taken for granted, and people don't know, they don't realize that they're lacking it because they can't sense that they're lacking it. So they don't know. It's like you don't know if someone's blowing a dog whistle if you're not a dog and you can't hear it.
It'd be kind of a cool thing, somatics. You don't know what you're missing.
You don't know what you're missing. You literally don't know what you're missing. So, that could sound like, you know, I know something you don't, but that's not meant that way. But it's literally, I work with people all the time that are not able, then they're not able to sense what's happening, and then at some point they are, and they say, oh my God, I didn't realize that I couldn't feel something so simple. So they can't be present, because being present is not a mental activity. It's a whole person experience, right?
Yeah, it's our primary way of being, and most of us get taken out of that. Like I said, we sacrifice our first-person awareness to listen to somebody else who we really quite can't tune into, or, like I said, we get third-person with our first-person awareness, and then we start to objectify our own inner experience to the point where we just label everything we do instead of actually, you know, be able to get leverage to share it well.
Yeah.
So, all right, Craig, well, thanks for joining us here on the show, and if anyone wants to follow up with his work, it's craigwilliamson.net, and his book is up there, and he's got a whole bunch of other things available on the site, and you venture up to Maine, you can get to work with Craig, and And, you know, thanks for joining us on the show. And, like, you know, good way to end it there on presents as we get close to the holidays. So,
okay.
You know?
Thanks
and,
for having me.
Yeah, we'll be talking to you soon. Take care.
Thanks, Craig.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Huh. All right, well, let's see if I have something available. I really hope. You know, sometimes, and we're sorry, guys, but Dr. Jeb,
he's indisposed.
He's indisposed, yes. I'll give you an idea of my holiday banter here.
Oh, no.
Oh,
the cookie smells good. You have a cookie. Bring it over.
Oh, my God, that was so loud.
What the hell?
I don't know. Lower it.
I'm trying. I'm trying. I just don't understand this thing. All right, let's see if this works.
Overcook it. Smells good.
What are you doing?
You're overcooking it. Bring it over.
What's
it
take?
It's like a piece of charcoal. Bring it over here.
There you go. Here's my holiday dinner.
Oh, man.
So, you know, I'm just thinking about him. He was such a low-flying eco in the sense that just very mellow eco up there in Maine.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at his book. It's Muscular Retraining for Pain-Free Living. Now, you think of pain-free and our friend Gaskew out there on the West Coast, Mr. Anto, calling everyone a slob.
That's right. Oh.
You know, and how his message gets across in spades, because he's dealing with chronic conditions, same thing, and he's dealing with pain, same thing, but he's not going somatic. He's going, you know, jarhead military.
Yeah.
He says, look, you know why you have a problem with that, my friend? Because you're a freaking slob, and that's it.
Yeah.
And it's like it's almost like you have to perturbate or kind of shake them awake. You can't tickle them awake. You can't dance on a feather and entertain them awake. You have to sort of jumpstart them. And I think in somatics, it attracts a lot of mellow, sort of introverted, kind of touchy-feelies in the whole community. That, you know, like, I'm loud.
Loud? I never noticed.
I'm loud everywhere I go. I'm just saying, especially when you put me next to a bunch of somasapes that are into their mellowness and into their yoga and into their, you know, they're sort of introspective and they're very kind of like almost ashen-faced in a way. That it's like when you walk into the health food store, it's those dudes that are sipping those, you know, carrot drinks. They just don't look really, like, vital and out there. They probably could, you know, balance a table on their nose, though, if you asked them. But what I get out of it a lot with somatics is that there's almost a withdrawal sense. It's like rather than go out and get more visible and make more, like, I'd love to see a billboard on the highway. Somatics, you don't know what the frig you're missing, you know, because this is, to me, the more somatics I learn, the more fun I get to have because it gives me more options. Where the other way, it's almost like you're living with your brain on safe mode all the time, and, you know, you don't have all the drivers going. So it's like you're living in a narrow world. But most people don't know any different because the CVS is open 24 hours a day, and I'm sure Craig closes his office and goes home at some point. Not like me, but, you know. That's why I get that sense that that's what's missing is like there's just overall in the somatics community, there's just sort of a tendency to not share. Hey, look. He made it.
Yep,
hey.
And there he is.
All right. Hello, ahoy.
I felt like I was being ignored because I was sitting on the line listening to Craig, and then I hear you guys go, well, Dr. Jeb is indisposed.
I didn't even see you
until
just now.
Like, you knew I was there. It was like all the paranoia started setting in.
Sorry about that, Dr. Jeb.
I saw you there, and you dropped away. I said to her, my stupid switchboard wasn't working. I couldn't.
Well, I did drop away. Did you get my email?
Yep.
Yeah, they're here. So they.
Yeah, okay.
The conditions changed. All right, so let's the somascopes this week will basically be it's Anto week, pack and hide. That would be kind of the theme. Pack and hide.
Oh God.
Because it's going to be all the way to the 23rd, and I really don't. And then we have a seasonal change on the 22nd.
Oh.
Pack and hide. We're going XO in the Anto phase.
Oh my God.
There will be no kinesthetic awareness for Christmas.
Oh.
Just duck. It's really going to get intense by the weekend, so I'm just going to say,
it's alive!
Yeah, pack and hide, run away. All right, so let's go to, we have 5 minutes left, let's go to Dr. Jeb for his tip of the week. We need the intro.
Oh, sorry. I'm a little low.
I was about to sing it myself.
Here it is.
I feel good. Wow! I feel good.
So I got a pizza given to me tonight by this lovely lady who is always bringing me vegetables and things from her garden. And so she made this sauce and she made this pizza, and it was, and she was having trouble making the dough. And so she went and bought some dough, and she kind of felt bad that she bought the dough because she wanted to make everything from scratch. And it was homemade meatballs with grass-fed beef. And she was just lovely, lovely, two nice pizzas. And the funny thing was that I've kind of been avoiding bread. And so I accepted the pizzas graciously, and I devoured them, and they were awesome. And I guess the thought that I had was that even if you're, you know, we've been talking all this sort of the food stuff the last couple of weeks, and we had Yo Adrian on, and I've been talking about this nutritional stuff. But the reality is, if somebody lovingly makes you a bologna and fluffernutter sandwich on Wonder Bread with bug juice, and they love you and they give that to you, then that's good for you because the intention behind it, because it kind of comes back to that whole thing, what's good, what's not good. So I just wanted to throw that out there. It was sort of a thought I was having today, and that's my tip for the week, is a little gratitude and a little less judgment.
Very nice.
Love, it's what's for dinner.
That's right.
You got it, man.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
All right, so we have a couple minutes left, so why don't you hit us with a quote because it could take us into the Christmas weekend.
Yep.
Pay attention, son. This is for your own good.
All right. I have a holiday quote. A perpetual holiday is a good working definition of hell. That would be George Bernard Shaw. Yes. Because we know how much fun the holidays can be when things are just not running smoothly.
Well, it was running smoothly in Danbury, Connecticut a couple of days ago when Santa got himself groped.
Did you see that?
Yes, I did. So it was on the Post today that they had Santa, his eyes blocked out like a sex victim.
Wow. Well, it was.
And apparently a woman sat on his lap and grabbed Santa's bag.
Right.
And, you know, made off with the with the contents. And he was like a 65-year-old dude, too.
And she was on crutches.
She's on crutches. I mean, she's got to be eco. I haven't seen her yet.
I'm so sure she's eco.
That is so, that is such an eco move to do. And apparently his wife was there. Santa's wife was there saying, you know, watch out, that's my man, or something like that.
Oh, my.
And it was a whole scene. And this woman was in the mall for, you know, about a couple of hours before they caught her. And so she's a fourth-degree sex offender, which is like, you know, I don't know that. I mean, I probably am a fourth-degree sex offender, for God's sakes. I mean, really, who isn't? Every eco should just walk around with some kind of identification like that.
That's,
could potentially grope Santa.
It was very strange.
I thought so. But
she
got
a handful of nuts and started walking.
Yeah. I just think and the guy that, like, trains the Santas is like, well, we train them for kids puking and peeing on their knee and biting them, but not for this. This is unusual. This is going in the manual for next year, though. Oh, you're damn sure.
Bill Sauderson from Santa U.
That's right.
Yeah. It's like Santa's or Us or something like that.
Yep.
It's just like it's funny. Oh, man.
Chestnuts roasting.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I heard that this morning, and I literally, and I don't know if I do this, I literally whipped around to face the radio and said, did I just hear what I heard?
Mm-hmm.
Santa got groped in Danbury.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Strange things. I was in Danbury all day today. It can happen.
Any Santas running around looking for a grab?
I don't think so, but I might have missed it.
There you go.
Oh, lordy, lordy, lordy.
Oh, boy. Well, we had a good time tonight. Sorry you were battling the elements up there, Dr. Jeb, but Merry Christmas to all the listeners and archivers, you bastards.
Yeah, you need to let us know you're out there, damn it.
Yeah,
please. Who the hell are you?
Please register as a Blog Talk listener, and so we can get in touch with you between shows, because we do a lot between these hours that we talk here. And,
you know, maybe we should offer a free copy of the Somatic Companion to people as they sign up for this. We'll grab someone randomly and...
Well, okay, fine. So the 10th person that emails us after the show at nakedsoma@gmail.com gets a free copy for Christmas. How
Perfect.
About that?
Absolutely perfect. You're the man.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. Play us up. Wait. Not the first.
Enough of that. Hurry up and play that, what do you call it, the Heat Miser thing.
Oh, geez, all right, let me see if I can find it really fast here. Heat.
Until then, guys, travel light. We'll see you next week with our post-Christmas celebration.
I don't even find it.
And a report from the Bean.
Nope. Quiet. I can't find it.
Well, then there you go. That's pretty much the story of our lives. So I'll play this, and then we'll hang up.
All right.
Even though it's past 9 o'clock, and all the archivers will hear this portion of the
program. That's right.
But you know what? They're good enough for me.
Yep.
So let's see if I can get this to work. Just for a couple of seconds, anyway.
Nice.
I don't know why I'm playing this, but, you know what I mean.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Happy Kwanzaa. We'll be joining you on Kwanzaa. Next Wednesday.
That's right. And who do we have on? That would be Amy, no?
Yeah, Soul Retrieval.
Amy's cool. You guys should come back and
lurk
again.
Buddy Amy, right?
So we empty our pockets on Tuesday and then retrieve our souls on Wednesday.
Perfect.
All right, guys, take it easy. Travel light through the darkness.
Shalom.
Have fun, guys.
Bye. We saw your name.